So as Deb said at the beginning of the service, we're going to start a new series, and we're calling that Seven Wonders of Our God. And so we're going to look at different aspects about God, and this morning we're focusing on the fact that God loves us, the wonder that God loves us. And so we're going to read a passage from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. But before I do that, I've got a little thing here that I put here as a reminder. Actually, this week, Karen found Was it somebody else? Anyway, somebody reminded me that a hearing aid they found at was it you, Carol, or Jim? Yeah, it was sitting on the ledge on the outside there. So it's Jim's hearing aid? Good. Then Jim can hear me this morning. All right, there you go. So somebody found it outside, I guess. So there you go. Perfect. All right. All right, that's good, Jim. Did you have a spare one, or was that your only one? The only one. Well, put it in, and you'll be able to hear us this morning. That's good. All right, so we're going to read from 1 John chapter 4, but before we do that, let's ask God to lead us and guide us by his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord God, that you are an amazing God. And as we begin to look at some of the wonders of who you are as our God, as we focus this morning on the fact that you are a God who loves us, Lord, when we really think about it, it's hard for us to comprehend what that's really like. And so as we read your word here this morning, as we hear your word being proclaimed, we pray, Lord, that you will just give us open ears, open hearts, open minds, and that we may be ready and open to hear from you. Lord, just speak to us in a powerful way here this morning. And I pray that you will also lead me by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help me to bring a message to your people that encourages us to live as your people of love in this world. And so we pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Hear then the word of God from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so far, then, the reading of God's word. dear people of God. For those of us who are parents, one of the joys of life is being able to give gifts to our children. Whether it's a birthday, a graduation, Christmas, or sometimes even out of the blue, we find pleasure in seeing the faces of our children light up at the sight of a new toy, a new bike, a new smartphone, the latest PlayStation, some new clothing, or whatever it is that we give them. And even when they turn into teenagers or adults, we still find joy in giving to our children, especially when they make good use of the things that we give them, right? As I reflected on that the other day, a Bible passage from Matthew 7, verse 11 came to mind. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I don't know about you, but I'll admit that sometimes I underestimate God's inclination to bestow good gifts on us as his children. I think sometimes it's more natural for us to question God's love when things go wrong in our lives. And so at times we need to be reminded that we serve a God with unlimited resources, a God who gets great joy in showering his blessings on us, his children. Now, this nature of God's unconditional love for humankind has staggered the minds of people throughout history. The Apostle Paul says in our text that God is love. 1 John 3, verse 1, the previous chapter says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. It's amazing when we really think about it, how God takes people with shady characters, with past problems, people with skeletons in their closets, and God not only loves us, but God invites us into his family through his son Jesus. That's really the overall message of the Bible. How imperfect people, sinners, as the Bible calls us, how we matter to a holy God. Even though we might fail God in different ways in our lives, God doesn't turn his back on us like other people often do for us. God continues to love us with an unconditional, forgiving kind of love. Now, I think many of us here this morning, we've heard that truth about God's love. We've heard that many times in our lives. And yet, I think the reality is we can go to church for many years without really being touched by the reality of God's love in our lives. Some of us who maybe at one time in our lives felt loved by God, if we're really honest about it, we don't really feel like we experience that at this time in our lives. It might be some fond or fading memory for us at this moment. And if that's you, then I pray that God will work through his Spirit to enable you to experience the reality of God's love in a new and fresh way in your life. You see, If we don't sense the reality of God's love in our lives, we're not going to have a whole lot of joy in being a Christian in this world. Going to church, that'll just be a drag for us. We'll go because, well, we kind of feel guilty if we don't. And even to witness a baptism like we've done here this morning will just seem like some empty ritual if we don't experience God's love in our own lives. What happens when people don't experience God's love in their lives? Well, invariably, people will start looking for love in all the wrong places. People will look for love in singles bars or chat lines. People will look for love in their bank accounts, exotic vacations, or things like that. But they won't experience true love in those things. And so they turn to substitute kicks or highs in their lives. Anything to try to boost their self-esteem or to try to calm the fears of their lives. It doesn't work, does it? Our fears will only subside when we live in the awareness of God's love. Our self-esteem will only grow when we realize that we matter to God, that God does indeed love us. And when we live in the assurance of God's love, we will feel at peace within an uncertain world. We'll be optimistic about the future, because we know that God holds the future in His hands. We'll feel secure enough to take risks in our lives because we know that God will continue to love us even when we might experience failure at times in our lives. When we live in the assurance of God's love, we will feel watched over. We will feel satisfied. We will feel approved by God Himself. Now, you might be thinking to yourself by now, that sounds wonderful, Pastor, but how do I know? How do I know that God loves me? Well, first of all, God comes right out and says that He loves us. For many of us, as human beings, it's no small thing to say to another person, I love you. Many parents have never spoken those words to their children. Many children have never mouthed those words to their parents. Why not? Because words can sometimes sound cheap. And so we kind of reason to ourselves that if I say I love you to someone, well, then we need to be prepared to back that up with our actions. I love you can be a high-risk kind of pronouncement. But God not only says that He loves us, God puts it into writing. The Bible repeatedly talks about His love for us as His people. The Bible, in many ways, when we really think about it, the Bible is God's love letter to us. Psalm 103, verse 11 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who trust Him. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I think that last verse from Jeremiah is especially important because it's easy to conclude that God's love is, you know, kind of like human love, right? That you know, how that runs out after a while. And so when another person disappoints us repeatedly, then we find it difficult to continue loving that kind of person. As human beings, we often display a conditional kind of love in our lives to other people. But that's not the case with God. Don't ever compare my love with human love, says God. Though you might disappoint me many times, my love for you will never run dry, says God. Jeremiah 3, verse 31, verse 3 says that God has an everlasting love for us, a love that never runs out, a love that never runs dry. I find it interesting in our text from 1 John 4 that twice it says, God is love. Actually, if you look at, at this text in 1 John 4. There's no other text, there's no other passage in the Bible that repeats the word love as often as in this passage. I added it up. A total of 27 times it uses the word love. That's because love is part of God's very, very being and nature. God is love. And God doesn't communicate his love only in words. God backs up his words with actions of love. And God has shown his love to people since the beginning of history. God showed his love to Adam and Eve by giving them a second chance after the fall. God showed his love to Noah and his family by sparing them from the flood. God showed his love to Abraham by producing a ram for the sacrifice instead of making him offer up Isaac, his son. God showed his love to David by forgiving his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. God showed his love to Job by ending Satan's attacks and giving Job double of what he had before his time of testing. But God's greatest act of love was shown through his son Jesus. 1 John 4 verse 9 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him." This is love, says 1 John 4 verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God showed his love for this world in the most dramatic way possible by offering up his most precious son as a sacrifice on the cross for undeserving people like you and me. The blood-stained cross is the ultimate act of love. His death was God's way of providing us with his gift of eternal life. So again, how great is God's love? Well, I think a beautiful illustration of that is Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. Some of you are familiar with that story, how a man had two sons, and the younger son gets kind of cocky and thinks he can make it on his own, and he asks for his share of the inheritance, and he takes off for a distant country. And there he tastes the fast lane of life until all of his money runs out. And he finally comes to his senses, and he heads home to apologize to his father. He's ready to offer himself as a slave, believing that he's forfeited his right to be called a son of his father. The father sees him coming from a distance, and he runs out to meet his son with his arms held out, ready to embrace him. Father won't hear anything of his son being a hired hand. Instead, he throws a party to celebrate the return of his lost son. Now, as parents, many of us have had times when our children did something to disappoint us. But if the child comes back and says that he's sorry, we'll forgive him, right? That's because we love him. And he'll always be our child, no matter how great the faults that he or she has in their life. We might not think of it that way. But when God calls us together for worship like this, it's really God's way of throwing a party to celebrate his love for us as his children. Because God knows that none of us deserves his love. God knows that all too often we run off to chase after the treasures and the pleasures of this world. But our weekly time together reminds us that God's love looks beyond our sin. God says to you and me, even though you've strayed off track, I still love you. I'm not happy with your sin, but you're still one of my kids. and I still love you. And as we read the Bible as individuals or collectively as a church, God urges us to stop running from him. God invites us to seek him. God holds out his arms, and God invites us to bathe in his unconditional love for us. God knows our need for forgiveness. God knows for our need to be released from our feelings of guilt and shame in our lives. This is love, says the Apostle John in verse 10. God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for her sin. And then a few verses further in verse 17, it assures us that we can face the final judgment with confidence because God's perfect love in Jesus takes away all of our fears. As Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's right. Because of Jesus, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love for us. And the Bible leaves no doubt about God's love for us. But one thing remains. How will we respond to this gift of God's love for us in Jesus? And the Bible says that we can respond in one of two ways. We can either treasure that gift of God's love, or we can choose to reject it. And so how do we respond to God's love for us? The primary way that we show that is in the way we treat other people in our lives. In verse 11 it says, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 20 says, whoever does not love his brother or sister cannot love God. Because love is really the of our true faith in God. Now, I can stand up here and tell you that you need to love other people. I can mention that over and over. That you need to show kindness to your neighbor, that you need to love the person that you work with, that you need to serve the people in this church to show evidence of your love for God. I can just keep hammering that away. But you know what? That won't work. We first need to experience the reality of God in our own lives. And you know what? When that happens, and no one needs to express our love to other people in service to God. When we as sinners realize that we are loved unconditionally by our God, when we realize that all of our failures are forgiven and our sins are washed, and nothing will hold us back from returning that love to God and showing that love to other people around us. We can't help but burst forth in spontaneous worship and praise and service to God. And so if you have experienced the reality of God's love in your heart, then spill it out on other people. Spill it out on your spouse. Spill it out on your kids. Spill it out on your parents. Spill it out on your neighbor or the person that you work with. Because that's our natural way of showing gratitude for God's gift of love to us. As verse 19 says, we love because God first loved us. Now, okay, so we talk about God's love, but that still leaves us with one issue that many people struggle with. Many people in our society struggle with the question, so if this is a God of love, if this God loves so much, how can people still wind up in hell if God is such a loving God? Maybe some of you have asked that question. Well, people wind up in hell when they close their hearts to God's love for them. Sounds kind of cruel, but that's the message of the Bible. It happens when people ignore the message of God's love for them in His Word. And people ignore it by saying, well, I don't need that right now in my life. Maybe someday. Maybe someday I'll come to faith in God. Maybe someday I'll commit my life to Jesus. But I don't need that right now. The Bible says that there will be a someday. Someday there will be a day of reckoning. Someday there will be a day when we will be held accountable for the way that we have lived our lives. And to those who have ignored God's love, God will say to those people, I have loved you every day of your life. I made the comfort and the strength of my word and my Holy Spirit, I made that available to you. I have extended my offer of salvation to you. But you have chosen to ignore my love. You headed your way here on this earth. And now you can have it your way for all of eternity. And so let me ask, have you been closing your heart to God's love in that way? And that's a question that only you can answer for yourself. I can only encourage you to open your heart to God's love, saying, I need it, Lord. I need to experience the reality of your love in my life. God, make your love real to me. And when we do that, then God will touch us and enable us to repent of the sin of our lives. And then God will enable us to place our personal faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin. As verse 15 says in our text, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And that decision to accept God's love, that decision to love and serve Jesus, makes the difference where we will spend our eternity. God offers us a home in His heavenly kingdom where we will enjoy the reality of His everlasting life forever and ever. It's God's gift to us in Jesus. So accept it. Accept it today. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the love letter of your word. We thank you that you have given us your word to assure us of your unconditional love for us. That you assure us that you are a God who continues to love us no matter what. We confess to you, Lord God, that as much as we desire the intimacy of your love in our lives, we confess that we often pull back from you because of our sin. We pull back from you because of the selfish pursuits of this world, things like the treasures and the pleasures of this world. Thank you, Lord God, that you don't give up on us as quick as we do with other people in our lives. We pray that you will stir our hearts with the fire of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will renew us in the assurance of your love for us, and that you are committed to us no matter what. And we pray, Lord God, that in that way that you will help us to respond by renewing our love and our commitment to you and to your kingdom purposes for our lives. And Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning who has closed their hearts to you, or for those whose love has grown lukewarm, We pray, Lord God, that you will do a powerful work with your Holy Spirit to make your love real to us, to make the love of Jesus real to us in a fresh new way. Help us to respond to your unconditional love for us by showing that same kind of unconditional love towards others in your name. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our precious Savior.